We have seen in the last few days some pretty wonderful things. The Supreme Court overturning the most heinous decision that the Supreme Court has ever made and declaring that there is no constitutional right to kill babies in the womb. Now, the amazing thing is that this took 50 years for Supreme Court judges to be able to recognize that there's nothing in the Constitution that says this. In fact, the Constitution says that you have a right to life. In fact, you have an inalienable right given to you by your Creator, is what the Constitution says. So back in 1973, a group of Supreme Court judges made something up that didn't exist. But it goes with the rest of it. The whole thing was fake. The woman who was claiming that she was raped later came out and said, no, she wasn't. She didn't have standing legally. The whole thing was a sham. It was all a setup. And so then the Supreme Court invented something that they called the penumbra of the Constitution. When people said, where in the Constitution does it say this? They said, well, it's in the penumbra. Umbra is the Latin word for a shadow. Penumbra means next to the shadow. There is no such thing as the shadow of the Constitution, let alone something that is outside or next to the shadow of the Constitution. That's how ludicrous this is. And it took 50 years and 61 million babies before somebody finally had the courage to say, there's nothing in the law that allows this. Praise the Lord. Finally, we have six Supreme Court judges that had the courage to stand up for what's right. That said, and there is indeed great cause for rejoicing, but the battle's not over. First of all, keep in mind that all that they did is say that there is no constitutional right to this. Now it goes back to the states. And unfortunately, we live in one of those states that says that it's okay to do this. So we still have a lot of work to do in this state. But we also have to recognize that Satan is not going to be happy about this. A lot of his power came from the blood of innocent babies. That's where his power has been coming from. He is not going to be happy that his power is being taken away. And so they are going to be trying all kinds of things. I know people don't like when I preach this way, but I have to tell you the truth so that you can be prepared for what's coming, because they have all kinds of things planned. You know, we know that they've said, oh, they're going to have the night of rage and they're going to have riots and all that. The riots have been planned for months. This isn't because of Roe versus Wade. That's just the excuse they're using for this set of it. But they've got this all planned. This isn't happening in a vacuum. This is all set up. They are planning all kinds of really bad things for the next number of months. One of them is a food shortage. They are telling us that somewhere around the beginning of August, there's going to be a real problem. And there is, because they've engineered it. So I told the people at St. Augustine's a few weeks ago, you should get 6 months at least worth of food while you can. I was at one of those warehouse places a couple of weeks ago. There's no sign of shortage as yet. Coming soon. Prices are going to be skyrocketing, and the supplies are going to be pretty meager. We need to be prepared. And we need to be able to recognize that what we are doing here is, first of all, fighting a spiritual battle. And so we have to handle it in a spiritual way. We have to pray, and we have to practice charity. Not exactly what St. Paul says. The whole law is fulfilled in one statement: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if you have food and the people around you don't, you can't say, this is mine. You loser, you didn't go to the store and get it when you could have, so bummer for you. No, no, no. God's not going to bless you with that kind of disposition. We have to share what we have. We have to be charitable. We have to help others, because we recognize, again, this isn't, yes, we have material things, but this isn't a material thing. This is a spiritual reality. And it's going to have material expressions, yes. But we need to be able to see what's happening. And we need to understand, again, this is all being done on purpose. It's all engineered, 100% of it. What these people want is for you to be in fear. And they make no bones about it. They're not even trying to hide what they're doing. They are so convinced that they are winning and that they are going to win that they're literally not even trying to hide it. And what they're trying to do is to get things so bad that they can then come and say, oh, we have the solution. And of course, if things are that bad, we're all going to be more than happy to say, good, let's do what you think will solve the problem, because we need somebody to help us. We need somebody. His name is Jesus. They want a one-world government. And I know that sounds stupid, but unfortunately it's not. Look up the World Economic Forum. If you haven't heard of them before, that's the group that's pushing the one world government. And a very unfortunate soul by the name of Klaus Schwab runs the thing. Look at what they say. Don't take my word for it. Listen to him. One of his top advisors is a really messed up clown by the name of Yuval Noah Harari. Look him up. Listen to the guy. He's actually a history professor, but he's talking about all kinds of things that have nothing to do with history. The guy comes straight again. They're not trying to hide it. He's telling you these things at conferences. He's putting it on TV. We can't just hack into computers anymore, he said. We can hack into human beings. Isn't that nice? They can hack into your brain. He's bragging about it. Oh, what Stalin and Hitler couldn't do, we can. Really? This would have been a great thing for Stalin and Hitler. That's what these guys are about. He says the worst thing that we can have is free will. So we can take people's free will away, because we can hack into them, remember? We can take away their free will. They can't make a choice, and they will do whatever we tell them. Boy, doesn't that sound like a wonderful way to live. Klaus Schwab says by 2030 you will own nothing and you will be happy. Really? The elite will own it all and you will have nothing, but you'll be happy having nothing because they said you will. Again, look it up. Understand what they're trying to do. And then listen again to what St. Paul said, what we heard a couple of minutes ago. For freedom Christ set us free, so stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. We have been under the yoke of slavery for a long time. 50 years of killing our own babies. But it started long before that. In the United States, it started back in the 1800s. And these people, you have to give them credit, I guess. They've been very patient. They have persevered in what they are trying to do. And they're pushing it. And they're almost succeeding. But there's one little problem that they didn't take into account. And that's one extraordinary woman who's going to crush the head of their vile boss. And you and I can be part of that. That's the beautiful thing of what's going on. We have to make a choice. You see, one of the things that's been happening in America for all these years is that as Catholics, Yeah, we can give lip service to God, we can come to Mass on Sunday, and then we can walk out and live like a bunch of pagans the rest of the week. We're not going to be able to do that anymore. Where we're going, every one of us has to make a choice, and I've told you this before. There are only two options. It's either Jesus or it's Satan. There will be no in-between where we are headed. And that's going to be hard for Americans because we just like to be mediocre. Yeah, whatever. We don't want to make a choice. We don't want to be black or white. We don't want to be able to get out of our comfort zone. We just want to be in the middle and just don't do anything. That's what they want. Because if that's what you're going to do, you're just going to be swept right along with them. By choosing to be in the middle, you're choosing not to be with the Lord. It's just that simple. You either choose to be with Jesus or you're not. So we all have that choice to make. And it sounds like it should be an easy choice, but it won't be. Because for the first time in the history of our country as Catholics, we're going to have an opportunity to be persecuted. And that doesn't sound too fun, and it won't be, but it's a great blessing. It's a huge blessing. And even these characters that want to do all this stuff, they're looking at it and saying, well, you know, all the Supreme Court justices that voted for this were Catholic. So we're going to start attacking Catholic churches. We're going to interrupt the masses. We're going to do all these things. So once again, they're not even trying to hide what they're about. So they need to push this. And therefore, you and I need to make a decision. So we heard in the gospel reading, these people who wanted to follow our Lord, or to whom our Lord called them to follow. The guy says, well, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, well, look, I don't have any place to lay my head. So in other words, if you're going to follow me, it's not going to be an easy thing. Somebody else said, I'll follow you, but first let me go and bury my father. Someone else, he said, follow me. He goes, yeah, but let me first go and say goodbye. There are no buts. There are no ifs. We either follow Jesus or we don't. It's just that simple. He told us that if we put our hand to the plow and keep looking back, we're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. We have to put our focus on Jesus and keep it there. Because otherwise, when things get difficult, we're going to start questioning and doubting, and we're going to start looking backwards. Look at what happened in the first reading. Elijah comes to Elisha, puts his cloak on his shoulders. Now, Elisha understood exactly what that meant. The cloak was the symbol of a prophet. And so when Elijah put his cloak over his shoulders, he knew that he was called to be the prophet to succeed Elijah. So what did he do? He went and killed the 12 yoke of oxen and burned all of the yokes. Why? Because there was nothing to come back to. He made a decision. He is going to follow the Lord. He is going to be the prophet of the Lord. And therefore, there won't be an option to come back. If I don't like it, if it's not going the way I want, if it's getting too hard, I can always come back to my farm. My oxen will still be there. The yokes will still be there. No, no, no. He slaughtered the oxen. He burned the yokes. There was nothing to come back to. That's the kind of point Jesus is making. That's what you and I have to make a decision for. There must have been a movie out a number of years ago where somebody was offered two pills, a red one and a blue one. And apparently, from what I can understand, if you take the blue one, that means you just continue living the lie. If you take the red one, that means you get the truth. All of it. And what a shock it's going to be to people when we find out that for the most part, our lives have been a lie. Because that's what they've done to us. They have lied and lied and lied and lied. Jesus set you free so you can have the truth. Jesus set you free so you don't have to be afraid. Jesus set you free so that death has no power over you. So we have a choice. Do we want the truth? Do we truly want to live according to the way of Christ? Do we want to live our faith? because that's where we have to be. If we're going to say, I choose Jesus, that means I have to put this into practice. And it means I might be persecuted for it. That's okay. Praise the Lord if that's what it means. But that's what all of us are going to have to make a choice for. And we need to be prepared. The next number of months, things are going to get bad. They're going to get very bad. And so again, we can give in to what they want. We can become afraid. Biden came out the other day and announced there's going to be another pandemic. Gee, isn't that amazing how these guys know this? I mean, they're prophets, they know. Right, because they're doing it. Like I said, it's all engineered. The yoke has been broken. Don't put it back on. Don't look back and say, oh, if I could just get that yoke of slavery back on me, then I would be happy again. Then Big Brother will take care of me. It's a lie. So don't take on the yoke of slavery. Finally, the first step in breaking the yoke of death in this country has been broken. Things aren't going the way that these people want because Our Lady is stepping in. And she could have just wiped the whole thing out if that's what she wanted to do, but she's doing this a little bit differently because she wants us to wake up. She wants us to see what's going on so that we can make a choice. We have to choose either to be with her and cooperate with her or to go the other way. So again, you think about eternity. There's no in-between. It's either heaven or hell. There's nothing else. Well, that's the same choice we have to make in this world. It's the King of Heaven or it's the Prince of Hell. I don't want Big Brother. I don't want a one-world government. I don't want somebody else saying, I am the ruler of the world. The Lord told us who the ruler of this world is, and I refuse to follow him because our Lord has given all authority to his mother, and she is going to crush the head of that despicable creature. So now it's for us to make a choice. Each one of us, do we want the truth or do we want to live the lie? Do we want to live in fear? Do we want to have the freedom of the children of God? Do we want life and have it abundantly, as Jesus said? Or do we want to submit once again to the yoke of death? Do we want to live our faith? Or do we want to give lip service to Jesus while our hearts are far from him? Those are the kinds of things that every one of us has to look at. And every one of us needs to make a decision because, like I said, there will be no in-between. So I hope that every last one of us can say, I choose the truth. I choose life. I choose the freedom of the children of God. I choose Jesus Christ, and I will live my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what that means. I hope that that is the decision that you will make. But that's your decision. That's what's being presented to us. That's where we're headed. Like I said, there are only two options. So we all have to make a choice. The cloak, in that sense, is being laid on your shoulders. God has called you, and now you have a choice. Slaughter the oxen and burn the yokes, and move on and serve the Lord, or keep looking back and say, I think I'll go back. I want the yoke of slavery once again, because the lies are easier to believe than the truth. It's easier to live the lie than it is to accept the whole truth. You know, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the way and the life as well. That's what we're made for. That's what we have been set free for. So you have been set free from the lies, you have been set free from death, you have been set free from fear, so that you can live in the freedom of the children of God. Choose Jesus Christ and live your faith, not only when you're here in church, but especially when you're outside of here. Be the light in the darkness. Bring the charity of Christ into the world. And have the courage to say, I will not take on the yoke of slavery again. I will choose to live according to the freedom that I have in Jesus Christ.